and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 534. My name's James Gilmore. Joining me today is Matthew Ford.
Hello, sir.
This is the slightly bleary episode because we had our office party this week.
We did.
In an extremely socially distanced, not actually in the same place kind of way, which meant we had a big meeting over Zoom.
Yes.
And then we had little cocktails independently while we looked at about 25 other people on screen, slowly deteriorating over the course of the evening. Did you have a nice evening, Matthew?
I did, yes. The online shenanigans were very fun, yes.
There were games.
Yeah, it was just nice to see everyone, of course, and catch up after this bleak year we've lived through.
It is, and it was unfortunately still a virtual meeting rather than our usual get-togethers, but it was something. But as a result, having a party on Monday is an interesting one, because then you spend Tuesday and Wednesday going...
brave.
But we've done it now. It was a nice time, and I suppose we have to carry on. The trudge towards Christmas continues.
That's the spirit.
Well, we're going to go home for Christmas, are we? We're going to stay in our homes again.
Yeah, fair point.
What a change from the usual grind.
Have you put your tree up yet? That's the question, because so many people have been doing it very early this year.
Very early, just to break the lockdown misery, I think. People have gone like, it's November, tree, why not? Just put something new in the house. Something I can talk to. No, I haven't done it yet. I think the idea is to do it this weekend, though.
Yeah, same.
We'll tree it up. I like real trees. Are you real tree man? Or are
I'm
you
not,
fake tree
no.
man? Fake tree?
I'm fake tree, yeah. Just it's less messy and, like, allergies as well. I'm one of them, unfortunately.
Allergic to tree?
It's just like, I just don't need it. I'm just terrible with everything like that.
Man.
Yeah.
The smell of a real tree, that's the only thing I'm interested in. Like, everything else, I don't like tinsel. The associated kind of tat I find a little bit, like, bleh and gaudy. But an actual massive tree that smells of tree every time you walk in the room, that's the good stuff. That's the bit I like.
That is the good stuff. I'm a big lights guy. I like lights outside the house and everything. So we've got, like, a snowman that, like, takes his hat off and tips it at people.
All nice those ones. I don't know how everyone else feels about this, but you know, in shop windows, they often have those kind of animatronic displays where they have a Santa like climbing up a pole and climbing back down the pole and all that stuff.
Yep.
All of those are creepy as hell.
Like, yeah, when you think of it like that, yeah.
There's not a single one where the face doesn't look like some kind of warped version of Chucky from Child's Play. Like, all of those dolls are terrifying. Mm-hmm. And they repeat the same mechanical motion with dead eyes over and over again, and it's like, no, you're not enticing me into the store here.
Yeah, it'd be terrifying for kids. It's the huge blow-up ones as well that people get, like, of, like, Frosty the Snowman or, like, a massive Santa Claus. And then I always just think, like, a kid waking up looking out his window just seeing a massive eye.
It's the scale that freaks you out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose so. Well, I hope you're all having preparations for a much less terrifying Christmas than the one we're describing. But games-wise, we've got plenty to be getting on with. We've got news about MudRunner Mobile. We've got some info about the latest additions to Game Pass and their specific control tweaks. We've got Fortnite record numbers and a Marvel event conclusion and awards upcoming this week, plus a bit of information about Apple Arcade, which is the first info we've really got about how it's doing and how it works. And games of the week, including the likes of The Complex, Startup Panic, Million Dungeon, Donut County, Cluster Duck, WWE Undefeated, and a whole bunch more. Loads. But first, some news. The Runner Games. I haven't really been paying any attention to this until recently. This is because of Limmy, the guy who does streaming, and one of the only Twitch streamers I actually watch, because he's grumpy and middle-aged.
Relatable.
But he was playing a game called SnowRunner a whole bunch, and it was just a game about trying to get a truck across a variety of different terrains. Often you have to go and either collect or deliver items or objects on the back of your van, or you've got to go and rescue vehicles that are stuck or something like that. But basically, the vehicle itself, you can ping out ropes and stuff to affix to trees nearby to pull yourself and other things out of bogs and landslides and off the edge of cliffs and all that kind of stuff. So it's a driving game, but it's really about going very, very carefully through very dangerous terrain, just getting to the end.
Is it basically Ice Road Truckers, the game?
Probably. I haven't played that one.
No, it's a series. Do you not remember when that took over everywhere?
No, I wasn't involved in that. Ice Road Truckers.
Yeah, it was like a huge series at one point on, like, Discovery and stuff.
A TV series. No, yeah. I don't watch TV. I don't watch regular TV. That's for normies. So The other offshoot from that series is MudRunner, which is the same thing, but instead of snow, it's mud. It came to iOS and Android earlier this year, and they have been updating the game gradually with bits of DLC and all that kind of stuff. And now they've added support for real controllers. So you can wang on your PlayStation 4 or Xbox One controller and control it just like you would on the console or PC version, which is nice. I bring it to everybody's attention because I actually have decided that these games look incredibly fun. They're very good to watch, if nothing else. And I'd heard the names floating around for ages and never really paid attention when I should. It's premium. It's $5.99, £5.99. But I took a look at the App Store version and it works pretty well. I would rather play it with a controller, however.
Yeah, definitely. These sort of games, I think, you know, having the addition, that's always welcome.
Yeah, so to me, this is like, this just got quite interesting for me. So I think I'm going to have a go at this one with my Xbox controller and see how it fares on mobile. But that's MudRunner Mobile, if you want to give it a go. Speaking of controller support being added, this is the reverse. So we've got more games on the Xbox Game Pass for Android having added touch controls. So naturally, by default, you play these things with your Xbox controller connected via Wi-Fi, or Bluetooth. But if you don't have that and you don't want to, you do have the option for touchscreen controls. They're as good as can be expected. I'd rather not play them, but certain games have added like their own customized tailored versions rather than just a generic controller overlay. And we've got more now. So Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, which just came out incidentally on iOS, that's got touchscreen support. We've got things like Hyperdot. Eichenfell has got touch support as well. The Tourist, Vambrance, Cold Soul, never even heard of that.
No, there's a couple of these I haven't.
No, nor I. Well, we've added them to our big list, and if you do want to know which games you can play like without having to have a Bluetooth controller or an Xbox, because, you know, not everybody has them. I know the ideal way is to play it with a controller, but we can't assume that everyone's got one, and if you don't, you're kind of getting locked out. So this is helpful for some people. We've got our big list over on PG, so we recommend you go and have a look at that and find out what you can play.
Good stuff. More options, the better.
Exactly. So Fortnite came to the conclusion of its massive Marvel event this week, I guess. So 15.3 million players were participating at the end, all gagging up to defeat Galactus. And that's an insanely large number of people all trying to fight an imaginary Marvel villain, Matthew. Did you help kick Galactus's ass? I know you dipped back in recently.
I did. I was very, very up for doing this. And I had it all planned out. I had it arranged with friends and everything. We were going to jump in. And then our Christmas do happened on the Monday night.
Was that when it was? Oh, right.
Well, no, the Fortnite thing was the Tuesday. So obviously we had our day of work and then I crashed at the end of that. So
I see.
I didn't get a chance to log on, unfortunately. But I've watched a few clips and everything like that. And, you know, it's just Fortnite doing things that it always does, you know, unprecedented new things in the world of games that are always extraordinary, large and crazy. And, you know, seeing a 50-foot Galactus, pretty damn cool.
Well, this is their biggest number of players kind of playing concurrent. So it's not just 15.3 million people took part, 15.3 million people playing at the same time.
Mm.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at the game's charts on Steam and see, like, how many players are currently available, you know, in the matchmaking lists and whatnot, see how many people are playing online. Getting anything close to that is, like, near impossible. Even if you're playing, like, offline, just people playing the same game at the same time. But that's, yeah. Again, it always staggers me how huge the damn thing is. And they claim this is not the end of it. So this isn't, like, the conclusion of their Marvel event and now they're moving on to DC or something.
I think it's Hunters, isn't it? I think season 5 is Hunters, so they've announced so the Mandalorian's in there with Baby Yoda, or his new name, which I won't say for spoilers.
Best not say it because of spoilers.
And then there's Kratos from God of War, who's been revealed yesterday, which is obviously a huge thing.
It's all getting a bit Smash Bros, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I was thinking that. Like, Kratos is one of the huge ones that everyone wants for Smash Brothers. So it's like, I know obviously it's on PlayStation still, so it makes sense. But I was like, that is a big get.
Certainly is. So there'll be more partnerships. And yeah, and to some degree, because I don't play Fortnite, I don't really care. But it's one of those things that you can't ignore just because of the scale of it has a massive impact. And everyone still is kind of looking to Fortnite to determine what kinds of games they're going to make next and how they make them work as live operations. And so the influence is kind of unavoidable.
Yeah, these events are just unmatched at the minute. Like, They had the Travis Scott one, obviously. Mm-hmm. I think that was last year now, which was the first sort of music concert that blew open the doors a little bit. And then what was the end of season 4 where they blew up Fortnite with a black hole?
That's right, and it all disappeared, and didn't it?
I think that got like 12, 13 million. So I think this collaboration, you just add Marvel into the mix, naturally, more people are going to jump in.
Yeah, they haven't hit the ceiling yet, which is impressive. The other end of the spectrum, going away from like massively large-scale online free games, Apple Arcade, which is, of course, the subscription service where you can play premium games and premium games only for a fiver a month. Apple has just pushed out its Apple Arcade Games of the Year list, top 20, in fact, which is interesting to us because they've never really let on how well Apple Arcade is doing or even what games are doing best or anything really, right?
Nope, nothing. This is the first time we've had any substantial information.
Because we know it exists, so we know the games that are on it, but we don't know how well it's doing, and we don't know what money it makes, and Apple doesn't release these figures, so it might be a huge success and we don't know. It might be a massive failure and it's floundering and we don't know. Mm. Like, it's very, very difficult to tell. But what we do know is the top 20 Apple Arcade games that people are playing, which we assume is just purely based on downloads because that's the only metric. The ones that I recognize are the ones that I've played, certainly. So we've got like Lego Builder's Journey down there at 16. Butter Royale, I played. That's at 17.
Yeah, played that. It was good.
Spider, S-P-Y-D-E-R. I did a video on that. That was quite cute.
Sumo Digital.
Robotic spider game. Mm. That was at 14. That's nice. Rayman Mini, that's there as well. Very cool. What the Golf, that was a big winner. And I think the end, not last year's, I think, awards maybe. What the Golf was big, but...
Yeah, coming to Switch now.
Yeah, that was a really, really cool game and cleverly done. I'm surprised that SpongeBob Patty Pursuit is up as high as it is.
I think it's just an IP thing. Just if you look at near the top, you know, you've got Sonic Racing number 2.
Yeah.
I know the Sonic Racing games are actually pretty good.
They are good.
But just Sonic himself, and then you've got Pac-Man. And then Oceanhorn, I think, is an interesting one. Obviously, it's one of the big games.
Yeah, Oceanhorn 2 is at number 6 there, yeah.
Breath of the Wild inspired, all that sort of thing. But yeah, as you say, like Rayman, Sonic, Pac-Man, SpongeBob, all these games. Lego even, you know, they're all big IP.
Yeah, so people give it a go. But the number one is maybe a surprise to some people, I don't know, but Sneaky Sasquatch apparently is the Apple Arcade Game of the Year, the most downloaded Apple Arcade game. And I haven't played it. I've watched some gameplay of it now just to work out what it was, and I've talked about it, but I never actually bothered downloading it. It didn't strike me as like a top tier thing, but apparently that's the one everyone's gone for, and you have played it, haven't you?
I played it recently. So I think it was one of the first games that actually launched on the service when they did, 40, 50 games on launch?
Okay.
Because they're up to 143 now. So obviously there's an abundance of games to choose from. It's quite fun. It's a very cutesy sort of game where you are playing as a Sasquatch in a campsite, and the aim of the game is to literally sneak around, steal food, and keep him fed, and then upgrade. He gets like tools and stuff to help him get more food. But then you have like a main story mission as well, which is the campsite is going to be bought by the corporation. Mm-hmm. So it's up to him to find some hidden treasure that there's rumours of in the campsite. But there's also lots of little side missions you can do in it as well. So you can go fishing. There's like loads of sports you can do. So it's just like a adorable little cutesy thing.
It feels like a Yogi Bear inspired thing where you're just wandering around trying to steal people's picnic baskets.
100%. It's very like adventure puzzle sort of thing. Yeah.
But I'll have to play it now. Now it's Game of the Bloody Year on the service, so I'll have to probably give it a look. You can find the full list of the games over on PocketGamerBiz if you want to go and have a look at that as well. And it's just fascinating to see Apple opening up about any information regarding their stuff because they are just so cagey. So hopefully this will open the floodgates and they'll tell us all about it. They won't. They won't at all do that. No, that'll be it. Out and about this week, I want to start off with The Complex, which is the latest in the recent resurgence, I suppose, of FMV games. So I think people credit Sam Barlow a lot with this, with her story, kind of bringing back FMVs in a way that isn't awful. Because when I think of FMV games, I think of the 90s and I think of Night Trap and I think of really sort of bad, like sub-grindhouse stuff that is... The kind of the reason it phased out and it never really took off because we were like, this is rubbish.
And yet that got a re-release last year, Night Trap. That was always one of those weird things that happened. Yeah.
Very strange. It was in the very beginning when we like got discs, when we got CDs or CD-ROMs, and you could put some video on them. And people were like, brilliant, we can do interactive movies. And it ends up just being the kind of like, well, you're just sort of, it's like playing a DVD and skipping around the chapters, which is not the greatest way of doing it. And obviously the production standards were really poor because it was just game budgets, not movie budgets or TV budgets. So yeah, Her Story was really clever and interesting way of doing it. The Complex is much more of like a, we're doing a movie, we're doing an actual full on like interactive thriller movie. And you get to play it. So it's kind of, to me, this is like David Cage's Endgame.
Right, yep.
I always think that David Cage should just stop making games and make the film he clearly wants to make. Because all he makes are these like games which want to be films, kind of, but they're not. And it ends up just not being very good. And it's, his storytelling's not very good, that's the main
thing. Is that a bit like Hideo Kojima as well?
Yeah, I mean, yes, like when Hideo comes in with a 40-minute unskippable cutscene, you do go like, do you just make the film? You want to make a film, clearly. Just do it if you want to. Otherwise, I want to play a game, but pick one, please. This is kind of like that. It's got a much better budget. It's got what I would class as, I guess, mid-tier TV.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like standards. A daytime TV movie sort of thing.
Yeah, so it's like, it's not rubbish, but it's not super expensive either. It's kind of sitting in that middle ground. But it's taking itself quite seriously. It's kind of a bio-thriller where it's about nanocells and some weird virus or something like that.
Yeah, it's too real for today. I watched the trailer and I was like, oh no.
Well, I played a bit of it and I was like, ooh, lads, this is really interesting timing. They've been working on it for ages, clearly. But yeah, it's coming out at the point and it's like scenes of a woman on a subway starting to have convulsive fits and spraying blood and everyone backing away from her because she's clearly infected with something. We're like, oh God, this is chiming a little bit too real. But as it plays out, you'll hit points in the game or hit points in the movie, whatever you want to call it, where decisions pop up and you have to choose one or the other. It gives you a little countdown and then boom, your decision plays out. 8 different endings, quite a lot of different branching paths and interactions. And if you've played any of those games or perhaps any of the Until Dawn lots, I think Supermassive
Games. Yep, Supermassive Games. Yeah. Yep.
Any of their lot, you know what you're dealing with. But this is all live action. This is all real, actual people wandering around doing it. And played about half an hour of it. I think it's okay. I think if you're really into that genre, it's like a much better example of it than most. But I don't think it's anywhere near close to, you know, something like what Sam Barlow is doing with the genre. And I don't think it escapes the cheesiness of the genre in general.
Right. Do you think you'll finish it?
Probably not. Although saying that, you know, because these things are by nature quite short, you know, I think it will only take about 2 hours to complete. So, well, but it's $5.99 or $5.99. So it's an asking price. It's the price of renting a movie. So, and it kind of fits in the same bracket. But
different night in instead of actually watching a movie. You
know? Yeah, yeah. Well, I've put it in my top 5 games on the list video, so you can see it and like some of the gameplay I've captured as well, if you want to check that out over on the PG YouTube channel. But that is out right now. It's called The Complex. What else have we played? Oh, yeah, I mentioned Donut County because it's an old game. Came out in 2018 originally. It appeared on iOS at that time, and it's taken this long to make its way to Android. But now it's out. Mm. And this is just us saying you should play Donut County because it's delightful.
It's very good, yeah.
Little raccoon making holes in the ground and swallowing stuff up. So it's kind of like an inverse Katamari where instead of rolling around gathering up things, you're opening up a crack in the earth and then dragging that around and swallowing things. But either way, it's sort of similar.
And the writing's very zany.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Because this raccoon is like text messaging with a pal of his, and then they all meet up with other animals and talk about stuff. And it's got a slightly unusual, yeah, very unusual tone. It's got a very good soundtrack that's sort of laid back and not ukulele-ish, but I don't know, it's actually quite good. Saying. Almost a bit sad, like it's a slightly melancholy tone I get to some of it. But at the same time, it's also got weird things where, as well as just swallowing objects, you can, for example, swallow like fire and then spit smoke out because you can move this hole around. And you might need to regurgitate that fire to, for example, inflate a hot air balloon somewhere on the stage. And then that will
It's a puzzle game, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a clever one too. And like, we really liked it. And this is another like perfect for touchscreen because you're just putting your finger on screen and dragging that hole around. And you just don't get a better control system than that for that kind of thing. So we highly recommend it. It's a premium game again. Don't know exactly what it costs, but I think it's worth it, whatever it is.
100%. Yeah, you can find it on most platforms now, I think, anyway.
Totally, totally. It's really, really good. What have you played? Have you played anything new that's been out this week? Or have you been backtracking?
I played Warp Drive.
Oh, yeah, that was last week, wasn't it?
Last Friday when it came out. So, yeah, so it's the latest game from Apple Arcade. It's a arcade racer that has, like, teleportation functions in it.
Okay. Because I looked at it and immediately downloaded it because it looked like Wipeout.
Yes, it's like Wipeout, and it's also got very, like, Jet Set Radio Future vibes, so as in, like, a bit like the art style and the music especially. As soon as the theme tune hit in, I was like, this takes me back. Yeah, this is good. You're in these vehicles, which are called, I can tell you, they're quad rotor racers.
Okay.
There's only tournament mode available from the start, and you meet a guy called Limmy, I think he is.
Lenny.
Lenny, yeah, Limmy was the Twitch streamer you were about earlier.
That's right.
And he basically introduces you to this world, and he's like, he sets you some challenges. You have to place third in your first race and so on. And it's all about rising up the ranks, that sort of normal thing for racers.
Are you actually racing against other people? Because every bit of gameplay I've seen is just you on your own.
Yeah, other people, as in computers.
Yeah, AI, just other vehicles.
Yes, yes. The only thing is, I'd say the touch controls are not as intuitive as I'd like them to be. It does support controller, so I'd 100% play it with that if you can.
Mm-hmm.
Because the left and right directional sticks are like in the bottom left-hand corner. For the cornering, it's a bit awkward.
Well, you mean, yeah, I'm playing it now. It's just got locked left and right controls in the bottom left, and that's it. But I'd have a problem with that. Like, I don't really want to... That floating stick effect where you can drag your finger around it everywhere, I find quite irritating at times. I often prefer it if it's just like, no, just show me where the controls are, leave them there, and then I can get used to hitting those buttons. But when it's like, put your finger anywhere on the screen, that's where you find your thumb wandering, and then suddenly you're covering up all of the actual gameplay because your thumb's like bang in the middle of the screen or something like that. So
I think it's just a personal preference, obviously, because this is only on iPhone, so it's on my 7S.
Yeah.
Which isn't the biggest of screens as opposed to my new Samsung and everything like that, which you can't play on, so that makes sense. But yeah, so you teleport like every time you get to like a corner, and then like you can use boosts to catch up to one another. It's quite difficult at first to place quite high. You really have to get in sync with it. And there isn't any tutorial or anything, which I found interesting. Just because I was like, well, what do all these boosts do and everything? It just throw you straight in there. And I was like,
I
could use the quick how-to. But it's lots of fun. It's got lots of style.
The visuals are great, like massively colourful, lots of green, and it's got that Borderlands slightly cel-shaded thing going on. But also, it's throwing you up against the walls as well, so you're driving on the ground, then the warp thing happens and suddenly you're flying along the wall, which is quite nice. So there's inversions and stuff happening, but no, it feels all right. I'll play it more. What's the name of it again?
Warp Drive.
Warp Drive, okay. So that's Apple Arcade right now. What else have we got here? Oh yeah, so I played Cluster Duck. This is out this week.
Good name.
This is like the very definition of novelty game. But it looks like it's had a more attention paid to it than most. And a really nice trailer as well. So this is a duck hatching game where you're presented with a screen which has got three nests in it. It's all done in a kind of black and whitish monochrome with only orange for their beaks. And then there's a duck like wandering around the screen. He sits down in one of the nests and pops up and he's laid an egg. You tap the egg, it transports you to another screen, and then you tap, tap, tap on the egg to unlock it, and then boom, it hatches into another duck. And then you go back to the main screen, and now there's two ducks wandering around the screen. And that just keeps happening. They lay eggs, you hatch them, they lay eggs, you hatch them, and suddenly there's like loads and loads and loads of ducks all wandering around this screen. And you're like, okay, what? Why? What's the point of this? What's going on? And then you do it again, hatch another duck, and this duck comes out, and he's got a weird beak. This duck, it's got a flat, like, pointy upwards beak. You're like, okay, weird. And the game flags, like, mutation. Like, okay, cool. So you go back to the screen, and then as you hatch more, you start to see more mutations appear. And then when the ducks, which are mutated, they themselves go and lay an egg, boom, again, more weird mutations. And you're like, right, and soon you've got ducks wandering around with, like, crazy neck gear, they've got funny hair, they've got hats on, and all these different types of variations on the base model duck. And you're like, okay, so it's a collection game. You're supposed to just keep breeding these ducks and breeding and breeding and breeding until you collect all the different types of duck. And that's kind of what it is. The thing that I found entertaining about it, or I found funny, was I hit 25 ducks and I couldn't get any more ducks. And I was like, oh. And I looked in the top right-hand corner, and it was like 25 of 25. I was like, oh, okay, I see. And then I realized what the big hole at the bottom of the screen was for.
Okay.
Because I'd been worried at first that underneath all these eggs and nests and whatnot and the throng of ducks, there's a big hole, a big chasm in the ground. And I was worried at first. I was dragging the ducks away from the hole like they were just going to wander in. And they don't wander in. You throw them in. You throw them in when you're done with them, Matt. So if you want more mutations, you want to keep as many mutated ones around as possible. So all those normal ducks, Matt, they go in the hole. And you just pick them up with your finger and drag them in and let go. And they're like...
You're just sacrificing them to the duck gods.
100%. And it's like, oh, I've got this game now gets an extra point because of that. So it's super light. It's kind of a nothing. And it's just, you know, collect the silly ducks and watch them quack around the place. But yeah, that kind of got me. It's really nicely presented and that made me laugh.
So what do you get from sacrificing the ducks? Just more room?
Space.
Just space.
Space, Matt. They were taking up space. They were excess ducks in the hole, straight in the hole.
So this is actually a commentary on population issue, basically.
But yeah, sure. Yeah. Or exceptionalism or something. Yeah. Right? We only want ducks with hats and wicked perms. If you're just a normal, regular duck, I'm sorry, your access to requirements, get in the hole. So Cluster Duck, free to download, is very silly, but maybe worth a look. Yeah. Maybe laugh.
Quacking.
And continue. Startup Panic also came out. Now, this I haven't played, and this is another tycoon game where the idea is, you know, you isometric, you start off in a bedroom and then you have to start up a particular business and then build and build and go out of your bedroom and get offices and start hiring staff and do all that kind of business. The difference with this one is it's trying to be a little bit wacky. It's got a plot line.
Okay.
With six different endings that you can get. And it's self-aware and quite tongue-in-cheek, and it's throwing stuff at you like hackers will come along, you get pirates, people start threatening to kidnap you. So it's got like narrative stuff and a little bit of silliness thrown in, rather than it just being a very dry, you must build up the company and build and build and build, which makes it more attractive to me, I guess. I don't know what this one costs, actually. I should probably check. But I don't want to say it's premium and lie. Let's have a look. And we're going to do the live Google. I don't care. Startup Penny.
It doesn't seem like it would be premium, looking at it off the bat. Yeah. Normally, idle games.
It's absolutely not. It is £5.99 or $5.99.
Oh, wow.
Specifically designed for iPad, I think, more than touchscreen. But I'm sure they must have the iOS version as well. I'm sure. It's already 34 in the App Store charts. That's interesting.
There we go.
And it's available on Google Play as well, and everybody can play it. Yeah, $5, $6 on Google Play too. So there you go. It's from Tiny Build. They know what they're doing with this kind of stuff.
Hello Neighbor, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So it's maybe worth a look. You look promising to me. The last thing we added to our list was Million Dungeon, which is kind of a match 3 battler, which is draped over the top of an RPG roguelike. Very, very nice art style. Gameplay you've seen before. And, you know, it doesn't set my heart ablaze, really. But they've done a nice presentation with it. It's available for free to download at the minute. Million Dungeon is the name of that. And the other thing that I played a bunch of was WWE Undefeated.
Okay, yeah. Tell me more.
Which is a wrestling game. This one, rather than it being a straight-up combat game where, you know, you've got an attack button and a kick button or something like that, it's one of them ones which is sort of powered by cards. You know the ones, Contest of Champions, that sort of thing, where you build up your deck of moves. And in this case, obviously, it's building up a deck of like grapples and slaps and pile drivers and all of that. And they appear in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen. You have 3 moves available on screen at one time. Whenever you use a move up, it's replaced by another from your deck. 3 different colors. The yellow ones are straight attacks. The red ones are grapples. And the blue ones are defensive. You also have a hype move, which you can trigger once you've charged it up. And they do a big fancy jumping off the top Hurricane Rana off the top rope tile type deal. And it's actually better than I thought it would be, but has plenty of limitations. Like, art-wise, I think it looks great. They've done a slightly stylized, you know, cartoonish version of the wrestlers. And I think it looks really strong. The character art's really good. Animation's nice. It looks good. Even though it's not like a classic fighter, you have to be very tactical with your timing.
Okay.
And I think it works quite well because wrestling is very slow and deliberate.
Mm.
As a sport, I should be doing air quotes there, but I don't want to make anyone angry. As a sport, it is watching people do quite long, drawn-out moves where you grab your arm and twist you around and flip you off and put you back down. It takes quite a long time for all the stuff to play out. So it makes sense when you're hitting an attack and then watching it.
Mm-hmm.
play up while your energy charges. Because, of course, to use all these cards, each of these cards has an energy value, like Clash of Clans. So you have to wait for your charge to appear. So it works out quite well with the big, long, drawn-out moves. That's fine. And timing is really important. So I feel like I definitely have to pay attention to win. Like, and I've been beaten, and I can sort of tell why and what I've missed, and I'm kicking myself. So I was getting quite involved with it. The bad side is that when you start the game, you really only have access to one or two wrestlers, max.
Oh, that's a shame.
And you're in the first league. I got through to the second league.
Who are the wrestlers?
Yeah, well, the ones I had was you get The Rock, and you got AJ Styles is the one I got. Okay. But that was it. And I played like, you know, 20, 25, 30 matches to get through to the next round to sort of, you know, fight my way up the leagues. And it was perfectly fine doing it, but I'm always playing the same characters. And because you're in that league with everyone else who's just probably, you know, lower tier, they've all got the same characters as well.
Yeah.
And you end up with lots of fights where it's like AJ Styles v AJ Styles. And there's no different skins. Mm. They're both, they don't even change the color of the trousers. They're the same character. And that gets a bit dispiriting after a while. It makes quite a lot of good first impression moves. That's a really bad one. Like playing endless fights against the same two avatars who look identical. That's a drag.
Yeah, that's not what you want. I'm surprised, like, even in the first 30 minutes, they don't throw you a bone and say, hey, well done, here's a couple more characters.
Yeah, that's I think, all it needs. Like, just give me a character, an extra character or two early on, much earlier on.
Carrot on the stick to keep going, yeah.
Yeah, and then spice it up. But I think they've messed it up slightly there, where I've been put off, like, I'm enjoying bits of this, but, you know, I don't want to fight these. It looks stupid, just the identical mirror characters fighting each other. Like, this is, yeah, this ain't it. So it's got stuff going for it, but it's got problems. But I guess I was surprised it wasn't as bad as I expected it to be.
Is there much, like, theatricals to it? Because obviously wrestling is such a, like, pantomime sort of place. Yeah.
When the fights start, inevitably they come out, they do the big strut and they do their moves and the fireworks go off. They do all of that for each of the characters. So yes, and when they do the special moves, when The Rock busts out the people's elbow, it's lots of camera moves flashing all over the place and him pulling expressions and all that. So yeah, they zazz it up quite nicely.
That's good.
Genuinely, I like the overall cartoony style, but I think it's got things to work on. But WWE Undefeated is the name of that, and it's Android, iOS, every platform for free. But of course. I think that's it.
I think so.
All right, then. In which case, thank you all for listening. As always, do subscribe to the podcast. If you haven't already, go over to the Pock Gamer YouTube channel. Give it a subscribe. Check out PGBiz and PG.com. And follow Matthew Ford at what is your Twitter handle, Matthew?
It's Ford999. F-O-R-D-E. 999.
There you go.
There we go.
And you can follow me at Metal_Slag if you want, but I don't really say anything. I say enough on here as it is. So, thanks for listening. We will see you next week for more mobile game chatter. Goodbye.
Goodbye.